Let's stop.
So Baruch Hashem, there's actually quite a few of the things that are bothering the B'nai Chabura. Baruch Hashem managed to find things that carry out. So the first one, yeah, this is a kind of a technical one, yeah. So we know that we're kind of counting the number of Britos, yeah. And it comes to this number of corresponds to the number of people, the Chora that were Har Sinai or or the Midbar. Rashi says Kaminyan Shahu B'Midbar. So the question I saw asked on this by Ben Yaakov, kind of obvious question, right? Which was that apparently that number, that if you look at it, the Levium weren't included in that count. That was your question? Mm-hmm. Oh, geschmack. Yeah, I thought someone asked this question.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I knew.
Sorry, I couldn't pin down the name.
That's why.
So the answer the Ein Yaakov says is, yeah, so look at this, number one. Halevium lo hispagdu b'toch b'nei Yisrael, right? As you were saying, yeah, they weren't counted in that number.
Someone answered this as well. You answered it? Brother answered as well.
Ah, okay. Well, let's see what he says. Yeah. It says Yesh Lomar to Bnei Yisrael kushchatu be'egel hushchu lekrisus bris arvus. This concept of having to have this bris arvus, yeah, that everyone has to be responsible for each other. That's actually an outgrowth of the Chet Egel. Did you mention this? I think you might have said something at the time.
No, but yeah, it's slightly different. Though.
No, it's slightly different. Okay, sorry. The question would have been sense, but it's a good question. So Masha Enkain, right? Shevet Levi, obviously we know they weren't involved. Right. Anyway, it's a great question. So just shows you you're alive to, you're not ChatGPT, you're actually thinking when you're actually reading the Gemara. That's the Avodah Hashem. Okay, next question, yeah? So we say Arva v'Arva Arva ikbenayhu, yeah? So I saw this is a question, again, sometimes looking at the question, you learn more from the question than necessarily the answer, yeah? Mm-hmm. I thought this was a very interesting question. I'll tell you why, because Be'etzim I would have never had this question. So let's have a look. What's the question, Michal? Yeah. So the question here is, and you see that you only get the question from the actual Rishon. He says, if we're all guarantors, what difference does it make to be a guarantor or another guarantor? Yeah. I.e. What better than he's saying?
Guarantees everybody else. So everybody's covered, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So what? I.e. He's saying, but Etzem, what's the difference? Yeah, between being an Arev and an Arev of an Arev, yeah? So have a look at what the Rosh says. He says, Nafkamina, yeah? Bechelek osam shemesu acha shechet hayachid. So he says there is a practical Nafkamina here, yeah? Let's say, right, someone does a sin, right? And then, right, one of the other people in Klal Yisrael die, yeah? Right? And therefore, v'nechleku ha'onesh kol Yisrael, right? And then, so the onus is going to, he was alive when the person sinned. Ah, do you want to pass this to text? Yeah. We're just on, suppose we're on number two. I was saying that I would have never had this question myself, yeah? We're just reading the Tosfos to Rosh, yeah? And it's just megala to me in a sense, a bit about what this is about. So the question that Tosfos to Rosh, I think, is bothered by is, what's the bets and the difference between Arva, practical difference between Arva and Arva v'Arva? Yeah, the two concepts, being like having a guarantee and being a guarantee of a guarantor. So says the Tosfos Rosh, he says there is a practical nafkamina here. If someone sins, yeah, and then after that person sins, someone else from Klal Yisrael dies, yeah. So he says, right, nechleku onish l'Klal Yisrael. So that onish that happened when someone sins is going to get divided amongst all of Klal Yisrael. The chelik onish shehutal ha-mesim. And then the part of the onish that went to the people who then kind of died, Eina mischalek of Kol Yisrael leman deleish de'arva de'arva. According to the one, doesn't hold arva de'arva. So the buck stops at those people. There's just arvas, yeah. So they have the arvas, yeah, and then they die, and okay, nothing happens. That part of the onish kind of gets lost.
Which way? Meaning they're not punished for the deceased or the deceased are
no. So
anymore.
We're not punished for the deceased. So yeah, we're still around, yeah. And let's say you've got, I don't know, you kind of have like 600 and whatever thousand chalakim of arvas and avodic arvas. So if it's just arva, yeah, so a person sins, everyone's got their thing, and then certain people die, and that's it. Those chalakim, whatever happens to them, happens to them. I don't know, they have to account for them in Shemayim, but that's... You know, for us, we don't have any, we've just got arvas for that person who sinned, and that's all, yeah? Whereas the one who holds the arva, if that person dies, his arvus, his chiyuv of arvus, now transfers to me. So I've got my own arvus and I've got his chiyuv the arvus.
Oh, you're part of his chiyuv.
It's divided by 600,000 properly. Yeah, nachon. Yeah, you've got a chiyuv of his arvus. Correct. Thank you. Yeah, you've got a chiyuv of his arvus. So okay, whatever. All I'm saying is, I wouldn't have necessarily had this kasha because I initially thought that it was just kind of like it would be just arvus to arvus, would be like doubling up. Yeah, even without anyone dying. Yeah, like I've got arvus, and then he's got his arvus, and I'm kind of like chayiv like twice kind of thing. Yeah, but what I see is, in a sense, the kasha I think it is there because pashtus arvus means you're a guarantor, right? So a guarantor only pays up when the original person doesn't pay up, right? So arva the arva, this is in the chiddush for me. Arva the arva means that so to speak, insofar as he is not kind of paying up, I have to pay up for him. But if he's around, then arva da arva is just in a sense theoretical. And that's why the Tosfos Rosh, that was my chup. That's why Tosfos Rosh is having to come along to tell you a practical nafkamina. He says, who cares, I've got arvus anyway. So I'm an arva for him, but it doesn't matter. He's got arvus as well, so mach partly. That's why he says a practical nafkamina if he dies. Anyway, it's an interesting chup there. Okay, number three, this is a few people were discussing, so it says kol parsha kula lo nemra ela v'noefes, so the whole parsha, we'll have a look at what that means, the whole parsha. We know Rashi basically says the whole, all the different curses, but that's going to be part of the factor. It's only on two adulterers. Now why is that? It says Because when it's talking about avodah zarah, somebody who's died of avodah, but arah sagilei, arah isn't enough for that kind of person, No, we know that he's chayav misa, he's chayav arah is not enough for that kind of person, Elamai, it must be this. Mm-hmm. So everyone jumped up and said, wait a sec, And there's different ways people ask the question in the chabura, Some people said, well, wait a sec, So maybe he gets also misa. That was Who's to say this is not? Or another way you can ask it, is to say, wait a sec, Noefes also get Misa. Yes?
So
why not Ara? Okay. So Rashi says, let's read Rashi a sec. He says, Kol parsha shall hagwizim lo nemru ela b'noef nehes. So the whole parsha in terms of all the klalas, So ba'ara sagile says bitmiya, Kofa ba'ikahu, ba'sagile ba'ara? He's a kofa be'ikah. Now, this itself, I felt, was somewhat of an allusion to the answer. Let's have a look, Says the Marasha, and I think he's going on the back of that. He says, Derotze lomar, this is the second one down on three. V'chi sagi ba'aru, demashma aru ba'olam hazeh. Aru means you're cursed in this world. Ha'ein lo chelek gam lo'olam haba. Right? But wait a sec. If you're cursed in this world, that means kind of you're still, it's hard to be cursed just in this world, but you're gonna be... You're going to get punishment in this world and aru in this world and you'll pay it off and then you'll have olam haba, potentially at least, But we know that someone who does avodah zarah, forget being cursed in this world, he's knocked out from the main world, so to speak, the ikkah, from olam haba, The mumma levejus kachavim hu mumma lakala toira, ve'ein lachelek le'olam haba, v'chuli. So that's basically what it means. I think that's part of the thing of kofa be'ikkah that Rashi is trying to say. But then carries on the marshal. This is just an interesting point. But Lule Purusha, and had it not been for Rashi, Nira, the Lonis Chaven Lomar Kula Parsha, right? I call Yud Aleph Arurim. So he would have said, because you know, Revelal mentioned, if you look through the Rashi has to go out of his way to explain each of their room how it kind of links back to Noef and Noefes, It's kind of, he ends up being stuck at the last one. There is an answer in the Tosfos Shamsi for the last one. But what I'm saying is, it's a little bit difficult. So the marshal just wants to say, Lule Divrei Rashi, He would have said, it doesn't mean that. Ela pasuk zeh lichud. Parsha just means the parsha of avodah zarah. The avodah zarah dikah curse.
Or just that.
That part's kula. Right. Shunikra parsha kula, the stuma lefanav, the stuma lemaachrav. Right? So he's saying it is shaykh, because apparently if you look at how it's written, it's shaykh to call that a parsha if you look at how it's written.
Because it was a pagan. Right. Exactly.
So anyway, that's an interesting point. Now, getting back to this original question, we're going to have two other answers, and it's going to be geschmack because number four is going to be the last answer. So I said you'll see why I separated question number four, because it answers another question that everyone was asking, But let's have a look at Maral before we get to number four. So the last one, next one, number three, He says, Kamosha Amar B'Samuch, The Harbe min Eidu Hachotim Mevada Lo Sagile Ela Keneged Noef Noefes, Avagab, the Nerf Nemeres, Gumkane Lo Sagibaro. So he's saying, yeah, even though Noef Nerfis, Lachori, you'd say, like we were saying, maybe they should also not have this Aro. Mikomakom, Chutzma Onish Neuf, yeah, Ika Aro. But the point here is that the Aro is kind of an extra, yeah, which is Shayich to Noef and Noefes. That's what it means, yeah? Let's have a look. Vizeki Arohu, Lashon Klala Vichisara. So this idea of Aro, the way he's explaining it, Aro Sagile, means Aro is something which we're going to see means a lashon of chisaron, yeah, of a lacking, yeah, and that particular concept is really just shaykh to noeth noefes. You explain why, yeah, pan noeth noefes asher heim sarim in aderech biznus, yeah, because what happens is, yeah, they go off from the path with znus, yeah, I told us asher heim yotzim mehem, and then the outcome of what they do that come out from them heim bali chisaron is they cause the concept of lacking in this world, yeah? Kasher yesh chisaron betolda, az einam shleimim v'heim balei chet. And therefore, not only are they sinning, but they cause someone else to have kind of character traits, yeah? Kind of inherited, unfortunately, yeah? That are lacking, yeah? And that are disposed towards being balei chet. Shkol chet hu chisaron. And that's the idea of chet, is just be'etzem a lacking of shleimus, yeah? Right? And that's really what it means, all the part. The fact that you get aura for each of these things, yeah, is dafka noef noefes, where they create results that themselves lead to.
It has some connotations to chisaron.
Right, it's connotations, yeah, to an ongoing chisaron, yeah. So Aveda Zara is a terrible thing, it's a one-off thing, yeah?
Okay, I hear that.
But now, I'm not really sure how you read Dafka Lashon Sagile, because Sagile means you should have more. Whereas here, I think the way he's reading Sagile is, I don't know how he reads Sagile.
Like you said, appropriate.
He's just saying, yeah. Sagile is, this is appropriate, yeah. Sagile? Like, it's not... You know, because look, the Ikar Sin is now, there's nothing really, whereas Snow of Noephis, there's a follow through, because there's Aro, which is Ikar.
Maybe Sagile means it walks, it has feet.
It has feet, yeah.
Carries on walking. Okay. Maybe Sagile can also mean that, can't it?
Yeah, to walk.
I don't know, maybe. Okay. I'll check that out.
Now look at this Malbim, yeah? The Malbim, again, he asked a different question, but another question everyone was asking, and he links this together. This is number four, yeah? So basically, kind of the Gemara talks about, you know, that elsewhere it writes brachas and klalas, and therefore why does it write it? And it says all sorts of things we learn, right? That betzim was the order, there was a bracha and before the klala, and so really, even though we have klalas betzim, there was a bracha before each klala. So what everyone asked is, yeah, sof, why does the Torah leave out all the brachas? Yeah.
Right.
And Tucker, I found Bruch Hashem, the Malbim asks this head on. Yeah. Wow. So let's have a look at number four, yeah? And he links this to the previous question. He says, number four, Begam Kasha, Madu lo Amra Torah, Habrachas Klal. Right?
Right.
Black and white, yeah?
Right.
Ella, de Bavadai Mari Bezeh, Habaha Ereva. Right? So we're talking here about someone who has relations with Ereva. For Holy to the Mamzer, right? Shahaya Madu lo Rabin. Now, it's going to be like a well known thing that here, a Mamzer is born, yeah? And because of this mamzer's anger, yeah, on Klal Yisrael, yeah, and the Torah, she'asra oto lavobo, who, and the Torah asked him to kind of go into to marry into Klal Yisrael, yeah. Hitchil lahasis ulahadiach ben Yisrael b'seisa. So he's going to start to do bad things to try to undermine the amongst Klal Yisrael. And then the result of that is he's going to go to the non-Jews. You have us avodah zarah. He's going to end up doing avodah zarah, right? And he spells this out. But and then so obviously you see already, yeah, that's going to lead to avodah zarah, yeah. But aru makalal aviv v'imo, and cursed is the one who is makalal, who curses his father and mother. To call Yisrael makalalim osam, yeah. Because all of Klal Yisrael are going to be cursing these parents, yeah. Al Shigarim Muzos be Yisrael on the fact that they caused this surus to Yisrael, because this guy is going to be causing major problems. But Aram Masig Gavul Reyehu, and another one of the Arim is cursed is one who moves, yeah, in the border of his friend. Say Lemar, this means to Asa Bezer, right? Hasagas Gvul Ben Ha'umis Ha'olam Yisrael. It really means, it's talking about, alluding to the fact that one moves the border between Klal Yisrael and the nations of the world, yeah? But Inyan Sinas Adas, and causes kind of like, causes fighting, yeah, between, so he's stirring, basically, bottom line is, yeah, the results of no FS is, you're going to cause someone, yeah, who's going to go and go serve a Avodah Zorah, and he's going to be against the Das of Yisrael, he's going to start causing trouble with the Goyim, and you're going to come to lead to all these different curses, yeah, but the important thing the Marbid is pointing out, this is like a progression, this is one leads to this, yeah, and what's he trying to say? He's trying to say the reason why the Torah left out the brachas, it's because the Torah wants to show you, because remember, the bracha, you have a bracha klal, bracha, 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 but etzem, within the klalas, there's a certain progression that the Torah wanted to present. And in order to present that progression, it had to, so to speak, leave out all the brachas. So that all you see is klalala, goes to klalala, goes to klalala, goes to klalala.
Right?
So, you know, had it put the brachas, yeah, you wouldn't have seen this pattern that the Torah is trying to bring out.
Sorry, right, yeah.
It's like it would be like an interruption in the story. So although obviously in practice the brachas came there and there's a way to see that the brachas were there, right? They were on purpose, so to speak, hidden behind the text, so you could see another message coming out from the Torah, which is this the Marbim is presenting this progression of no ethos.
Right, it wouldn't have happened with the blessing if he did the opposite way around necessarily. More blessing. It's not directly as related.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't see the story coming out. Right. That's a shot at the mouth.
Beautiful.
Okay, wow. So we answered the two questions together. Yeah?
There's another answer to the prophets. It's unpermissified. The prophets and clothes here. I think it's important to find, because why is it short prophets and the clothes there that will go on and on and on? The bracha means everything is perfect. Every individual thing that goes wrong, people focus on. Goes through every little detail. So here's every little thing. You do everything right, that's the problem. Do this one, and this one, and this one, and this one.
I hear you.
I don't understand how the blessings even work with Klal if this whole thing is super out of life and address. I don't know how it works.
Well, it's kind of the other side of the coin, isn't it?
Yeah, how does that
if
work?
You don't do that. Oh, you mean because of the progression? I suppose this is a downward spiral. I guess the opposite is the upward spiral,
no,
right? If you stay away from this, then you grow in it.
Cursed is the one, right? We're talking about the result of a Noeth and Noethes the whole time. It's like the cursed is the action of like two people who are connected to create this action. So how does it work in the blessing?
Well, blessed is the people who stay away from that.
So it's like blessed is...
Yeah, but the continuity, the story doesn't necessarily, though.
Yeah,
that's what Paris is saying, because the blessings unlimited, you know what I mean? It's not like it's just going to be lots of blessing, not just this to this to this.
Well, I mean, I say it's impostures, the blessings can be like what it actually says. It's like, it doesn't need to be like saying it's in a sense, this is what we're trying to say, that the curses are all linked together, they're one story, they're one progression. Blessings could be, you know, each one, stay away from each of Aero, yeah? Don't, the person who treats their parents properly and doesn't curse them.
Has the blessing got anything to do with Noeth and Noethes?
No, not necessarily. I'm saying this is just the curses.
Mm-hmm.
In the Chanami.
Right.
So I'm saying.
It's very, very difficult. It's not like Midakanadian.
Yeah, that's
something very strange that doesn't sit well.
No, but in that sense, I'm saying it's Kishmak, because that's why the blessings are left out. I'm saying, you see that they're not necessarily entirely parallel, because the Torah presented all the curses as one unit, yeah? And Dafka left the blessings out. Why? Maybe because, like Marvin was saying, the blessings wouldn't be one unit. The blessings are on different things. So you say, because they're not, maybe they're not like one progression. Okay.
Yeah, that's to see how it's progressed. I mean, once he mentions, you see how it progresses.
I left everything out. You have to see the Marvin inside. I didn't do it justice. Rashi, you're right. Rashi's not. This is a different shot to Rashi, yeah, to be fair. Yeah, he's not going within Rashi. He's
he goes through the whole progression, yeah?
I couldn't, it was a huge... Einsham, yeah. Number five, yeah? This is an interesting thing, yeah? So it says, right, Bedina Omim Osa Gimel Brachas of a Mikdash Bracha Achas. Now, everyone jumped up, and this is the question, most of these questions are what people ask, yeah? So the question that I think people asked, if I remember right, is, why, at the end of the day, yeah, I understand we don't say Amen in the Mikdash, and we say Bruch Shem Kavon Lach Soli Olam Ve'ed, right? But Sof Kol Sof, and so far, it's Amen is breaking it up. So Bruch Shem Kavon Lach Soli is breaking it up, yeah? So why is it
Why is it going from three brachas to one bracha?
I think that's what people ask, right?
Well, they'll make it
simpler. Oh, yeah, even more so. That's part of the answer, actually, yeah. You hear what parents are saying, but Baruch Shem Kulnuk is after Hashem's name. So actually interrupts it up even more, yeah? That's your question.
I'm sorry, isn't it? About Baruch
Shem? No, it's about Baruch Shem.
So let's have a look at this. The Tosfos Yom Tov.
Tosfos Yom Tov I brought just because he kind of addresses
the Indian and kind of brings other people, so I thought it was easiest to look at this, yeah? But then there's a Gishmak Chakira that I saw later on. We'll see if we fit this in a bit. So it says Tosfos Yom Tov, number five, yeah? He says, the card for the Tosfos, yeah? I didn't know where this Tosfos is, I didn't see this, but whatever. The Tema, right? Okay, head on our question, yeah? For Ad Kshayu Shem Mimis Hashem, right? Right? So Lachora, this is a problem. Vizeha you hefsek gadol. And this is even bigger hefsek, ma'an yes amen. So what's going on here? Why is it one bracha? Yeah, just because you don't say amen, you say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Torah Le'olam, it's even bigger hefsek, right? Vishema, how you own him, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Torah Le'olam Ve'ed, La'alta, yeah? So he kind of addresses a bit what parents are saying, but he's using this to answer a bit. Like parents wanted to say, yeah, that as soon as you said Hashem, you wouldn't wait till the end of the thing. You'd say Baruch Shem as soon as you said Hashem's name. The fish lo hayu mafsikin ben pasuk the pasuk, and therefore since it's right. In the middle of a pasuk, that is a bit counterintuitive, yeah. But really, it's only interruption if you get to the end of the pasuk and then you say something. But if you say something in the middle of a pasuk. Since it's in the middle of pasuk, although we're interrupting, it's not. Yeah. It doesn't be'etzem interrupt the pasuk. Yeah.
Right.
So chashiv lehu bracha achas.
Kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah, but you can see a bit. No, but the point is that in order to be interruption, it has to be two things. It has to be there is a natural break, and then we then say something during that natural break. But if we say something where in the middle of something where there's not a natural break, so we can't create an interruption. We can't break that into two pasukim. We're interrupting, fine, but you know it's like someone speaking and you heckle them in the middle of a sentence, yeah, right. So does that split their sentence to two? No. But if they get to the end of the thought and then someone starts heckling them, right, and they're having then maybe that splits their whatever. I'm just mushing. Right. Okay. Where was I? Okay. Good. Ella lefi mashikasev. Yeah. Efshar delo haisa anies brushin kavan nachoselam veed bebikus kanim. But according to Tosfos Yom Tov, what he writes above, yeah, I left lots of different things out. So he says, anyway, this is hard to say that they didn't say that. They didn't say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Ve'ed during Birkas Kohanim. So he says it's simpler, yeah? B'chuli. V'nimsa she'en kan hefsek klal. And in which case, according to my pshat, it's the Tosfos Yom Tov, I don't even have that problem, yeah, right. Tosfos. V'im toma, im ken you own im amen. But if you say, wait a second, they're not going to say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Ve'ed, and they should jolly well say amen.
Right.
Yesh lema. So the answer is, look, you know, you don't make a difference. He is assuming, interestingly, that Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Ve'ed is kind of like the Mikdash version of Amen. So he's assuming if you're not going to say that, you should say Amen. But then he says, low plug kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Ve'ed.
Right, we're going to get Daf Mem, it speaks about it. Mem on Bez, I think we're going to have. Yeah, it's also here.
Okay, so it's.
That's where the toast is, by the way. Israel, that's where the toast is, by the way. They quoted. So Mem on Bez.
Is there?
Different Daf, no. The
Mem on Bez, yeah, very good.
Mem on Bez, yeah, top one.
Hashem, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Baruch Hashem, so there you go. That's the concern of not having Bekias.
Baruch Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Mina Oilam Vad Oilam.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you should go. Okay, so now listen to this chakira. So I saw this Shira Rabbeinu, it should say, not Barnu, yeah? Shira Rabbeinu, Yechiel Moshe? No, Yechiel, Michal, thank you. Michal Feinstein, yeah? Not Rav Feinstein, yeah? Not the Rav. Okay, Yeshli Histapek, yeah? Look at this chakira. I haperu shekeman sheomim amen b'mindina m'meila na'asekim u'brachas, yeah? Is the b'shat... That since you say Amen and Mendina, right, then that makes it into Gimel Brachas. Or Be'etzem, Din Mendina, Shia Gimel Brachas, right? Or maybe no. Maybe Be'etzem, it really is Gimel Brachas. Or Be'mikdash, Bracha Achas. You hear the Chakira he's saying? He's saying be'etzem, what is it be'etzem, right? Is it really be'etzem, yeah? Three brachas, yeah? And in the mikdash, something's different. It's really be'etzem one bracha, yeah? And it's just, you know, since it's three brachas, so we say amen. And then the mikdash, since it's one bracha, so it's a memela, you don't say amen, and, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever. You don't, and it's not, it's just one bracha. Or is it, no, is it really that amen itself is what makes it into...
Mm-hmm. So which came first.
Yeah, which came first. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. For me, when you look at the Tosfos Yontov, I think it's clear. Like his second son, is it? Yeah, his second son. No, because Tosfos Yontov is being done and saying. Like, I think this is what we all assume that the Armenes are breaking things up. Anyway, last one. Yeah, we don't really. Okay, we'll finish it very quickly. So he says, Medina Kohanim Nosim Es Yedeim Kneged Kasvehem. So just I saw this discussion. I'll say outside. The Tosfos Kanaan summarize it. Yeah. So we say in Medina, this is what the Kohanim do, yeah. They do it connected their shoulders, yeah. Whereas we know right. The Mikdash they do it above, yeah. I'm mm-hmm. actually explain the Mikdash they do it above because the Shekhinah is coming from behind them, yeah. So the question that a lot that the Rishonim deal with, yeah, is okay. I understand the Mikdash they had a special reason for having to do it above the Shekhinah come behind, and they you don't need to have that basically outside the Mikdash. But outside the Mikdash, what happens, is it just that you can do it like this, or is it that you should do it like this, right? What happens if you, like, you know, what happens if one of the Kohanim, you suddenly see this, like, there's a Kohen, yeah, that seems to be like, what are you doing? Yeah, what are you doing? So, it turns out this is a Machlokas Rishonim, yeah? Mm. And basically, you know, some say, in Achanami, it's just saying that you don't need to, yeah? But he says, the Orizurua says, no, yeah? That Taka, you should not do that. And the question is, why not? Why not, yeah? And so the Torah's Kanaus wants to explain, yeah? And he says, I'll tell you why not, yeah? Because if you lift your hands above your head, then it's kind of like trying to show that, you know, I've got the Shekhinah behind me. You should know, yeah? The Shekhinah comes behind me, yeah? Which is Yura, he says, yeah? In so far as the only reason to lift it up the hat is so you allow the Shekhinah to come through. If you duff could go like that, you know, all the other Kohanim are like, you know, get a bracha from me, yeah? Right? Because I've got the Shekhinah behind me. That, he says, is Yura. So that's why, Taka, you should not try to do it, because you should not try to make it out like you're having to lift your hands above because the Shekhinah is coming behind you.
All the Kohanim lift their hands up.
Yeah, but then maybe all the Kohanim have Yura.
All Yura.
Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah. And the other answer he says is maybe just stunned because we want to show there's a shinui, yeah, so there's a heker, that there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, say
good. Square. Yeah. Beautiful.